You just have to behave, even if you are the CEO or chairman of the board. It's the Business News Hour for Friday, the 13th day of July, coming to you from Minneapolis. Thanks for coming by. Wells Fargo is feeling the pain of poor decisions. Wouldn't you want to be in the dining room with a particular family that's talking about the tariffs? We think you know who. Shares of AT&T stock fell today, and we'll tell you why. We've got more housing news for you. Renters seem to be outpacing home buyers. The last Sears store in Des Moines is closing this fall. How times have changed. Those stories, the markets, and today we'll visit with small businessman Scott Skelling from tiny Rock Valley, Iowa, about tractor parts. And then we'll get into the trucking business with Mark Steinbach from N&M Trucking. It's all coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Business News Hour. And hey, that news is coming up next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Aurion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AUREON.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. RE/MAX Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next.
How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Tero International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit Tero.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Tero team.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could just switch off your HR issues? Then you wouldn't have to deal with payroll, benefits, onboarding, or compliance. Instead, you could focus on growing and improving your business. Well, Aurion is that switch. Aurion provides attractive and competitive benefits, mitigates employer risks, manages a wide variety of HR transactions, and stays on top of ever-changing employment regulations so you don't have to. Flip the switch and visit AUREON to get started.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour, coming to you today from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thanks so much for clicking through. Well, it's been a marketing nightmare for Papa John's Pizza, and now the dollars will start to show. This week, John Schnatter resigned as chairman of the Papa John's board after he admitted to using a racial slur back in May. Although he apologized, the backlash has been immense. Just one casualty so far has been the Major League Baseball has indefinitely suspended a promotion with Papa John's that offered people discounts at the pizza chain after a player hit a grand slam. The University of Louisville also said that Schnatter resigned from its board of trustees and that the school will evaluate the naming arrangement for Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. But that's not the worst of it. The fact is that his face is on just about every marketing piece put out by the company. And it's going to take some time and loads of money to replace that. Think signs, boxes even, radio, television ads. The cost to remove him is going to be enormous. And it's something to think about when businesses devote so much face time to one individual. Well, the bank is feeling the pain of being a bad citizen. Wells Fargo, which has been mired in investigation since 2016, said today its second quarter earnings fell to $5.1 billion from $5.86 billion just a year ago. The bank also revised its first quarter earnings downward after agreeing in April to pay $1 billion in fines to federal regulators. Although Wells reported a 1% increase in net interest income, thanks to higher interest rates, the company saw declines in customer deposits and in loans, a sign of the lingering impact of the various scandals. You see, you got to play nice, even if you're the big bank or the big-time CEO or chairman. So wouldn't you like to be at the dinner table when Ivanka Trump looks at her father and says, "Hey, Dad, what's with these tariffs anyway?" If you were with us earlier in the week, we told you how many of the items Ivanka Trump sells would escape tariffs. That was in the first round. This time, maybe not so much. Many of the handbags and shoes made by Ivanka Trump's clothing and accessories company are made in China and will likely face the new 10% tariffs if taxed like other bags and products that are on the list. For example, leather handbags like the Ivanka Trump Tribeca Box Satchel. Say the word satchel, Michael. It retails for about $250. It is made in China, and it should be subject to the tax. Ivanka Trump's company doesn't disclose or discuss where its products are made, but its handbags, shoes, and much of its apparel all carry the, quote, made in China, end quote, label. The company's practice of sourcing its goods from China stands in stark contrast to President Trump's call for made in America and his criticism of companies like Harley-Davidson, which said they plan to produce some products overseas. Of course, all of this really doesn't matter in the end, because if these products are subject to the cost of the tax, well, that cost is simply going to be passed on to you, the consumer, right? Shares of AT&T fell by 2% today after the U.S. Justice Department said it will appeal a federal judge's approval of the telecommunication network's acquisition of Time Warner. The $85 billion deal, first announced back in October of 2016, was opposed by President Donald Trump. AT&T was sued by the Justice Department on antitrust grounds, but won approval from a U.S. district court following a lengthy trial. Judge Richard Leon's ruling concluded that the government had failed to show competitive harm from the deal and urged the Justice Department not to seek a stay of his ruling, saying it would be manifestly unjust, and to do so is not likely to succeed. However, the government's notice of appeal was filed with the U.S. District Court in Washington, and it did not disclose on what grounds it intends to challenge the approval. Stay tuned. Housing prices continue to increase, and so too do rents. And that's why this story caught our eye. According to a new study, families are being squeezed into rental properties at a much faster pace. The study is called The Dream on Hold by Rent Cafe. That's an online apartment finding service. Census data shows that over the past decade, home ownership by families, that is people with minor children, declined by nearly 3.6 million. In contrast, the number of families living in rentals rose by 1.9 million people. Most families still own homes rather than rent by a margin of about 3-2. But the trend has moved toward renting during the last decade as families lost homes to foreclosure or were unable to overcome the financial barriers to become homeowners. Another reason to rent is that it appears to be a better financial deal than ownership. That, of course, according to Rent Cafe, single-family home prices have risen faster than rents in the past 5 years, up 35% in home ownership costs to 20% for rentals. Both have outpaced the increase of a family's income by a wide margin. But, hey, you already knew that. And the investors? They shrugged. That's the word from Wall Street today as the S&P 500 closed at its highest level since February. Investors said, hey, never mind, forget about it, to mixed quarterly results from some of the largest U.S. banks. The broad index climbed by 0.1% and broke above 2,800 for the first time since March. Amazon, Facebook, and Microsoft also hit record highs, pushing the index higher. The Dow gained 94 points with United Technologies and Walgreens Boots Alliance outperforming. The NASDAQ was little changed as Cisco Systems lost more than 4% on the day. Some of the major U.S. banks reported earnings before the open. J.P. Morgan Chase posted better than expected earnings and sales as its trading revenue rose 13% in the second quarter on a year-over-year basis. Citigroup, meanwhile, posted a stronger-than-expected profit, but its revenue for the quarter missed. J.P. Morgan Chase slipped by 0.3%, while Citigroup dropped by more than 1.5%. And then, of course, there was Wells Fargo. That didn't help, as the company seems to be treading water. At the bell, the Dow gained those 94 points and change to end the day at 25,019. The NASDAQ gained up fractionally to close at 78.25, and the S&P 500 ended the week at 28.01, up by that 0.1%. Gold fell by $5 an ounce to 12.41.60. Crude oil gained 29 cents to close at 70.62, and the 10-year T-note steady at 2.85%. Well, today we learned the final Sears store in Des Moines will close this fall. The Sears at Merle Hay Mall will close in October, according to a statement issued by owner Sears Holdings. Store employees were notified yesterday of the measure, which was described in a statement as, quote, part of our ongoing effort to streamline the company's operation and focus on our best stores, end quote. The Merle Hay store will close in mid-October of this year. The Sears Auto Center will close in late August. A liquidation sale will begin as early as July 26th. Now, with zero stores in Des Moines, we think that's maybe a bit more than streamlining, you think? Eugene Sukup, founder of Sukup Manufacturing Company, the maker of those iconic grain bins and dryers in Sheffield, Iowa, died yesterday after a brief hospital stay. He was 89 years old. Sukup, who still served as board chairman, founded the company with his wife Mary in 1963 in a welding shop in Sheffield. Sukup served as president for 32 years before turning the position over to his son Charles in 1995. When we come back, a conversation about the tractor parts business with Scott Skelling from Rock Valley, Iowa. It's a tiny town that's just been through yet another flood. We caught up with Scott here in Minneapolis, and that conversation is coming up next.